Good morning. My name is John. I'm one of the members here at St Andrews. And it's my privilege this morning just to talk to you a few minutes about the passage that we just read. But if you'd just excuse me 1 minute, I hid something here because I've been really hungry this morning. So if you don't mind, if you just think about something else for a minute, I've got my cereal bar. I won't tell you what sort because that'd be wrong to advertise, wouldn't it? That's good. Don't know what it is exactly, but tastes all right. It actually says it's Bakewell tart. It's the wrong shape for Bakewell tart. But, Sorry, I'm hoping I won't get a sack after this, but you know. Warning to myself, never try and chew something before you're about to speak. That's better. Orange mango. Well, it was. It's a refill bottle, so it's water with a bit of orange in it. Amazing. Oh, that's good. That's better. Oh, I'm so glad I can just get hold of this stuff, you know. It's so easy, isn't it? I found that in the cupboard. It's in our cupboard. And there's a bottle of orange squash in another cupboard, so it just came to me this morning. And you know, I live in Ipswich. I live fairly close to here. And in very close proximity with us, we have a supermarket. I'll name the name. We have a Co-op around the corner, okay? An East of England Co-op. About 5 minutes away, we have a Sainsbury's, which used to be a pub. I think I preferred the pub. And about 10 minutes away, we have a Tesco's, you know. But there's a Tesco's 10 minutes away from everybody, isn't there, nowadays? It's sometimes easy when you live in a place where food just appears to be so easy to get hold of, and it's already in its packaging, already tells you what it is. It told me that was a Bakewell tart, but I've got some issues with that one. It's so easy, isn't it, to forget that things don't just appear, Now, I grew up in a farming community. I knew I'd forgotten something. Thank you. I grew up in a farming community in a village called Snape, which is about 25 miles down the road, 20 miles down the road. And it was a very rural place. So I learnt from an early age that actually it does take quite a lot of hard work to produce food. So it doesn't just appear in one of the supermarkets I mentioned. There's something that has gone on before. Quite a lot of things have gone on before. Now, 50 years ago, when I was a boy, you thought that, you know, just say it, you know, surely not, John, it must only be 20. 50 years ago, when I was a boy, we did have some machinery to help us. And that's actually newer than the tractor that we used to have to help us, but it's quite an old Massey Ferguson tractor from about the 1960s. 70s. Okay. We also used to, we used to hire in combine harvesters to get the crops up because we couldn't afford to have one of our own. So we used to hire them in each year and they looked something like that. And that is a potato riddler. Okay. I don't know who hands up who's done potato riddling in their lives. Trevor has, yeah, food people, excellent. Lovely job. You get the potatoes come up from the ground and you sort out the stones and that and chuck them away and the really bad potatoes and the rest go through. Now, I don't know, who's been to the Suffolk Show? Have any of you been to the Suffolk Show? Yeah? And have you seen those massive, great machines they have now? Big old tractors and combine harvesters. They're more like this now, tractors, aren't they? See, tractors nowadays have computers in them and things like that. And you can even listen to music while you're doing your tractoring. That's an amazing one, isn't it? Times have changed. And this combine harvester, so different. And it's amazing how much it has changed. So even, you know, now, living in a farming community, it can be easy to think that producing food, producing that bakel tart thing, producing what we eat, what we saw on that video earlier, is all down to our human ingenuity, to us being very clever at doing things. We can think it's all down to the work that we do, to our hard work, to our inventing and using amazing machines to do it. In the passage that Liz read to us from the Bible, we had a warning. Moses was giving the people of Israel a warning not to forget who it is that has provided and will provide for them. This was part of Moses' last instructions to the people of Israel before he died. It was like he was telling them, look, this is what you need to do. I won't be with you to tell you what to do anymore, but this is what you need to do. I don't know, some of you might, if you go to Britannia School and have been in years, well, if you've gone to school, you've been in years one and two, but you might have seen Dawn, who came up earlier, and some other people go into the school and tell stories from the Bible. And one of the stories that we tell from time to time is about Moses, a man called Moses, who was the leader of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel were a smallish amount of people, but they were slaves in a country called Egypt. And Egypt was led by a man called Pharaoh, and he didn't want the Israelite people to leave his nation. But God wanted to form a new nation for Israel, to take them to a land where they could have their own nation. And over a period of time, God sent lots of different plagues to the country of Israel, to Egypt, to try and persuade Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. In the end, he did, so the Israelites left. But you might have heard of something about like the crossing of the Red Sea. I don't know if you've heard of that account of the people of Israel. They came to a sea and they needed to get across it. By this time, Pharaoh decided to chase them. So they had soldiers and armies behind them and this water in front of them. And God, because God is so powerful, he can do anything. He parted the sea and the Israelites went across. And Moses led those people. But because the Israelites were not very good at remembering God, they did things which were against him. And so instead of going into the land immediately that God had promised to them, they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years. And during that 40 years, they moaned and complained, but God still gave them food and water. He used to send them something called manna, which was just a sort of flaky food that the Israelites were able to eat. It was the same every day, but it was food that sustained them, and water. But they'd been promised that they would enter a great land. And here Moses is telling them that the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. It was going to be a fantastic land, a wonderful land for the people of Israel. But it was going to be such a good land with such good things in it that there was a danger that the people would forget God. There's a danger that they would be doing so well that they would become proud and they'd put it down all to their own efforts. And Moses says to them, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced the wealth, this wealth for me. It was going to be easy for them to forget God. And you know, the same can apply to us. It is easy for us to forget God. When we have so much materially, it is easy for us to forget that we need to rely on God. Something's just popped into my mind, as it does sometimes. Dawn has recently had to get herself a new mobile phone because her old one just wouldn't charge, so the battery was just running down and it wasn't working. So she got this new phone, and nowadays if you get a new phone to sort of draw you in, they often give you a deal, don't they? They'll give you something else with it. So they'll say you can have a free, inverted commas, tablet with it or something like that. So Dawn ordered this phone with a free something or other. Now the something or other was, we didn't really know what this something or other was going to be. And when it came and we unpacked it, we still didn't really know what it was. Until we worked out that actually it was one of those things that you talk to and that give you answers. And it was really freaky. Well, it is really freaky. And so it was in our... Yeah, I think Evie came round and she sort of knew what it was, obviously, and helped us set it up. And you have to say certain words to this thing and ask it questions and it will give you answers. It's not very that good at the moment. It's quite young, I think. It doesn't know everything we ask it, but it keeps saying, I'm sorry, I have not got an answer for that or something. I'm still learning. And I think, oh my goodness. But some things you say actually sounds like it is actually talking back to you and you're having a conversation, and I'm thinking, no! Anyway, why have I just said that? It's because, you know, in this day and age of all this technology, we can start to rely on things other than God. We can start to think that actually wisdom and knowledge comes from that company beginning with G. You know, we can think that is how it is. And we can start to forget God. And it's the same with the food that we have, with a harvest festival. We can think, well, yes, it all just comes in a nice package. And actually, you know, it's all down to man producing that. And it's nothing to do with God. But it is to do with God. In one of the Psalms, it says this. It says that he makes grass grow. God makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. We must remember God. You know, farmers, growing up on a farm, I know that farmers often don't moan exactly, but, you know, it's never the right weather conditions. Well, it wasn't in our house anyway. It's never exactly right. And I think in the summer, if you were like me, there were periods when you... there's that period when it was just so hot and I was thinking, oh, I just want some rain. And this morning as I was walking to church, I thought, oh, I just want some sunshine. You know, we are never satisfied, are we? But the thing is, we need sunshine. We need rain. We need God's intervention. But you know, life, real life, is more than just the material things. It's more even than just food. Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's a quote from what Moses said. It's actually in a few verses before the passage that was read for us is a quote from Moses' speech to the people of Israel. And Jesus also talked about how we shouldn't worry and be anxious about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink, because God knows what we need, but that we should trust him. He talks about the fact that even the lilies of a field, you know, they're so beautiful that there's a king called Solomon who had so many riches, but, you know, all his riches made him nothing compared to the beauty of the lilies of the field. We rely on God for our sustenance. We rely on God for our harvest. We have lots of choices to make in life, and I want to do a quick poll here. I've got a few things. So the first choice is between Weetabix, okay, and cornflakes. So hands up for Weetabix. Yeah, mine. I'll put both hands up, all my hands, both hands. And cornflakes. So that's a pretty even mix. So that's a choice we have. There are obviously other brands that you can purchase from various supermarkets around the town. There's another choice here, and this is a no-brainer. I know which is going to win this. It's between jam, okay, and, I can hardly say it, peanut butter. Oh. Right, hands up for jam. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, peanut butter. Oh, there's quite a few people. Oh, somebody very excited about peanut butter back. Yeah. Me and peanut butter do not have a good relationship, but there you go. Right, and this one's a choice now between the Boys Brigade. Okay, you've got to listen to this carefully. Boys Brigade or Scouts, right. Keep looking this way. Hands up for Boys Brigade. Oh, well, I won't tell you. Okay, hands up for Scouts. Okay, Scouts win very easily. Okay. And an important choice we have to make is between Ipswich Town and Norwich City, so I couldn't resist this. Hands up for Ipswich Town. I'm not even going to bother with the next one. I don't want to get upset. I don't want to upset anyone. Right, so we all have lots of choices to make in life, don't we? But you know, the most important choice we have to make is what we're going to do with the invitation to become followers of Jesus. Whether we're going to forget or remember God. That's the most important choice we can make. Now, when Moses said that the people of Israel must remember the Lord their God, it doesn't just mean sort of believing he's there. It doesn't just mean sort of acknowledging him or paying lip service to him. It doesn't even mean, you know, coming to church on a Sunday or coming to messy church on a Saturday or doing lots of things in church. Remembering God means what Moses said to the people of Israel right at the beginning of the passage we read, when he said, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." It's about observing the commands of the Lord our God. It's about walking in obedience with him. It's about revering him. That means worshipping him, honouring him. So it's more than just what we say or what we think. It's actually our lifestyle. It's our whole lives. It's about who is the most important person in our lives and what is most important to us. And you know, we can only begin to remember God if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can truly remember in the way that Moses talks about God. during the church calendar, so to speak, there's various things that we celebrate. Dawn mentioned Christmas, which is in a couple of months' time, 3 months' time. And Christmas, of course, is when we celebrate and think about the fact that God sent Jesus, his only son, to be born as a baby and to come and live among us. But, of course, he didn't stay as a baby because at April time, we celebrate what we call Easter. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus came for a purpose. He came to die on the cross. That's why we have a cross at the front of our church. He came to die in our place because of the wrong things that we do. That's separated us from God. But Jesus came to die to take the punishment that was ours, to be in our place, that we might have our relationship with God restored. Not only did he die, but we celebrate that he rose again. So Easter Sunday is a day when we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, but that he rose again, that he conquered death, that he lives forevermore. And because of that, we can know him today and have a relationship with him. We have lots of choices to make in life. The biggest choice is, will we listen to God? Will we listen to his son Jesus? Will we ask Jesus to be the person who rules our life, who we remember? Many people would say, well, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Jesus or some other so-called God. But Jesus himself said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's the choice. Are we going to believe Jesus and trust him and follow his way? So whatever you do today to celebrate harvest for the rest of today, remember what Moses said. Just because we have loads of stuff, just because perhaps we feel we've got it all together, don't forget God, but remember him.